Now give your attention to Jeremy.
Good morning. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Happy Easter to everybody. Of course, we'll be looking at one of the resurrection passages from the Gospels. And in this sermon, I'm going to try to paint a picture for us. Many of your Bibles will note that in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16, that verses 1 through 8 kind of present a unit there, and then 9 through 20, there's probably a note in your Bibles that sometimes the oldest manuscripts that they have don't include that section and so on. And so it's interesting. What I want us to think about this morning is, what if the Gospel of Mark ends at verse 8? What kind of a picture does that give us? What kind of a portrayal does that give us? What kind of challenges might emerge out of that gospel if we stop it at verse 8 and we'll see what happens in there? And I want us to think about that question. What if verse 8 is the end? You know, what does that mean for us? If we bracket out just for today everything that we would read 9 through 20, and we look at verse 8 ending with the women being told about the resurrection and being told to go and do something, but the reality is that what Mark says is they didn't do it because they were afraid. What might that mean to understand the Gospel of Mark as a whole if that's how we look at it? And so I want us to think about that. So I'm going to read only verses 1 through 8, and then we'll look at this, because I think that we can pull out some meaning for that. I think that we can challenge ourselves to think about that and to think about the way that if the women were told to go and tell but they didn't, maybe Mark's trying to indicate something, that the door is left open for us, that we need to be the ones who take the message and go out. And then I'm going to look in the sermon at the whole gospel and look at some of the clues that Mark's embedded within his gospel and some of the challenges and the things that he's laid out there that would equip us to be able to go out and share that message with others, because it's all in there. Mark is laid out in a way that it cycles back upon itself, and it shows us the way that Jesus wants us to go out and share the message. And so maybe when we think about, hey, what if nobody told, and we realize there's a message here that needs to be told, what if that responsibility doesn't fall upon the women, but it falls upon us as readers of the gospel? And so we're going to look in the sermon this morning at what Mark has to say to us as people who read and hear the gospel that challenges us and equips us to go out and be the tellers of the resurrection. Because after all, that's what we're doing here this morning. On Easter Sunday, that's what we do. We remember the resurrection every Sunday, but when we give a little bit of special emphasis to it today, we're proclaiming the resurrection. We are talking about it already. What does it mean for us to be the ones who go out and share that message with others? So I'm going to read chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go out to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Let's pray. Thank you, God, this morning for the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you, God, for his death that preceded the resurrection. We thank you for his life and his ministry. And we thank you, God, that through his death, through the blood that he shed, we have forgiveness of sins. And we thank you, God, that you raised him from the dead to vindicate yourself and the plan that you've had, that you've created since before you even created the world. We thank you, God, for the redemption that we have through Jesus. And God, this morning, as we think about what it means to tell others about Jesus, and we see that the women had a response of fear, God, we know in our own lives that when we think about sharing the good news or talking to others about Jesus and proclaiming the gospel and the resurrection, sometimes, God, we're overwhelmed with and overtaken by fear. And I pray, God, that this morning you would really help us to see that we don't have any reason to be fearful. We have no reason to be afraid. That through you, and because of all that you've done for us and given to us, we have everything that we need to be able to live our lives, to be sustained, and to be able to share the good news with others. Help us, God, to be those who go out with boldness to talk and to share, not who shy back in fear, but help us, God, to become more and more emboldened every day as we think about the gospel, as we think about Jesus, and as we seek to follow you more closely. We thank you for Jesus. We pray this prayer in his very powerful name. Amen. When I was a kid, one of my favorite series of books that I would read pretty much all the time were the Choose Your Own Adventure books. I don't know how many people ever read those, but when I would get a new one, I would basically go, I'd spend a whole day with those things. I'm kind of embarrassing myself a little bit here maybe, but they were fun. If you don't know anything about the book, you'd start off by reading it and there'd be a few pages where they were setting up the story, and then the whole premise of the book is you then had choices to pick. So there would be a scenario that would play out in the book, and then you'd be presented with options. So if you might come walking through the woods, and you might come up to an abandoned house of some kind. And so the choice would be, if you want to go investigate the house, turn to page whatever. If you choose to keep walking and ignore what you found, go to page whatever. So then you start following the book through like that. And I would always realize that I'd usually pick the ones that ended the most quickly, and I'd be killed or something at the end of the story. So I started marking the books so that I could always go back to the choices and pick the next one and so on. And so if you came upon me while I was working through that book, you'd have like 5 or 10 different bookmarks in the book, because I was all over the place. And I know that I went through every single option that you could find in those books. But I really enjoyed them because you had the sense that the book, although it was already written, you were playing out the adventure the way that you wanted to. You were the one making the choices. You were the one getting to pick the options that you took. You were the one getting to follow out that sense of adventure. And as I was thinking about the ending of the Gospel of Mark here, that image came to me, and I thought, Mark kind of ends his gospel like this. It's an open ending because nobody tells about the resurrection here. And again, I want us to think about what happens with the women. When we see that they show up to try to take care of Jesus, they're expecting to find a dead body. This is why they bought spices. They went to anoint a dead body. The idea of Jesus' resurrection, although it's something he had talked about a number of times, was not even on their radar. They expected to find a dead body, and their biggest concern was, who's going to roll back the stone so that we can actually get in? In their distress, they hadn't even thought far enough ahead to think about who's going to provide us access to the dead body that we're expecting to find. But when they showed up and they realized the stone was rolled away, then things were different for them. And Mark tells us that they went in, and there's a young man that's probably an angel. He's dressed in a white robe, and he's sitting there, and they're alarmed. But he says, don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid, he says. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. And what this young man is doing is he's preaching the gospel to the women. That's what this is here. It's a condensation of the gospel. He boils everything down to tell them he was crucified, but he's risen. He's not here. And he presents that gospel message to them here. They're afraid when they show up. They're alarmed. And he says, he's risen. He's not here. You can look around and you can see there's no body here. You came this morning to anoint a dead body, but there's no body to anoint because he is risen. Look around. He's not here. But go, and here's where we get into the problem for these women. He says, but go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And so the women get a proclamation of the gospel, followed by a command where they have the opportunity to be obedient. And although this is happening to the women in the story, this is the way it plays out for us. We hear the gospel preached, and within that proclamation of the gospel is an implicit command to be obedient to it. And we're obedient to that gospel preaching when we go and do what we're told. That's why the young man or the angel here presents it in this way. He preaches the gospel to the women and calls them to obedience. Go and tell. That's all that we're told to do. In my class this morning, we were looking at the ending of the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28. And Jesus does the same thing there. He tells the disciples, the very first thing he says to the apostles after his resurrection is, go and make disciples. Here, the very first command given to the women after Jesus' resurrection, now it's not from Jesus himself, but it's the very first command given to the women after Jesus' resurrection is go and tell. Because that's what we do as followers of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're told to do, to go and tell. So we can look at the response of the women here and see whether or not they did that. And we know from reading it that they didn't. They were afraid. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And I think Mark notes that and indicates that because that's the kind of response that maybe we struggle with the most. That we hear the gospel preached to us. We respond to the gospel. We hear that call to obedience, to go and tell others. We know we want to do that. We know we should do that. We know the people that need to hear. We want to do that. We desire to do that. But fear overcomes us and we pull back. And like the women, we don't tell. And so I want us to think about the Gospel of Mark this morning because Mark, as I said, presents these ideas throughout his gospel that teach us and show us what it is that we ought to do and should do when we think about what it means for us to be those who go and tell. If we want to be obedient to the gospel, if we want to be obedient to that preaching of the gospel that we've heard and we've responded to, then it falls upon us to hear that command that was given to the women, but for us who are reading the gospel and hearing it read to us, that command falls upon us to go and tell. And for the women, it was specifically go and tell the disciples and Peter. But for us, it's go and tell. And we hear that message, and we have the choice to be like the women who shrink back in fear, and they leave, and they don't tell anybody. Or we can go back into the Gospel of Mark, see the clues that he's left behind, and think about what it means for us to learn from all of that, and then be those who, with boldness, go out and tell. And I think the reason that Mark has written this section like this, where the women leave in fear and don't tell anybody, is so that we who read this gospel wrestle with the meaning of the resurrection, what it means for us, and what our role in following Jesus is when we think about what it means for us to follow a resurrected Lord. When God raised Jesus from the dead, it was about vindication. See, Jesus' death is about atonement. Where he dies for our sins. There had to be that shedding of blood, that sacrifice for sin, so that God's wrath would be appeased. And through Jesus' death, we have access to the forgiveness of sins. And as we talk about all the time, when we're baptized into the name of Jesus, we enter into that situation where our sins are forgiven, they're washed away, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we're raised into a new way of life. And so Jesus' death was about atonement, but he was raised to vindicate God and God's plan, where God said, this, I was right, and I have the power to do this. And so Mark shows us that by talking about what Jesus' resurrection means, and what he's really pointing at is that if God raised Jesus from the dead, if God raised Jesus from the dead, then we should not be those who are told to go and tell but do nothing about it, but we should listen to Jesus, we should follow him, and we should be those who do go out and tell the way that they were commanded to do here. And so now what we do when we get to that ending of Mark and we think about what it means to be those who go out and tell, we go back to the beginning of Mark and we start looking through the gospel at some of the key events, some of the key scenes, some of the key ideas that are in the gospel that we can learn from, that we can be equipped by, that we can build the narrative around so that we can then go out and tell others about Jesus. So we can go back to the very beginning in chapter 1. And you can turn back with me. I'm actually turning back there right now because I want to point out some of these things. I'm serious this morning about going through the whole gospel. I'm going to keep it short, relatively, because I know we have Easter lunches. But in chapter 1, we look at what happens in verses 1 through 20. And you can just look at your Bible at a quick glance and see what's happening here. What we're going to see is that the Gospel of Mark includes many, many snapshots that tell us what the meaning of Jesus' resurrection is for us. We don't have to wait till we get to the very end of the Gospel when he's actually raised to learn what that means. The Gospel was written after Jesus' resurrection, and it's written to shed light on what his resurrection means for us. And so when we look back in chapter 1, we see several themes emerging here. Jesus' baptism as an example for us to follow. Jesus being tempted and tested, but relying on the power of God and the power of the Spirit to pull him through that as he trusts God in temptation. Then he goes out and he preaches the good news. We're called to be those who go and tell. We get that snapshot right there of what that message is. The message that the women were given, but also the message that Jesus proclaims here. And then he calls his first disciples. And he calls his disciples and they follow. And we understand that that's what following Jesus is always about. And that's what going and telling is always about. It's about making disciples. Calling people to follow into this way of life and building them up and equipping them within that way of life so that they can then go out and do the same thing. Going and telling does not mean exclusively like what I'm doing this morning, standing up here preaching, but it means making disciples. It means building those relationships where we can go to a person and tell them about Jesus in a way that they understand, in a way that builds them up, in a way that leads to their conversion so that they can then go out and do the same thing. When we turn over to chapter 9 in Mark, there's a critical moment here, the transfiguration, where Jesus is on a mountain. He leads his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, up to a high mountain. He's transfigured before them. His clothes become dazzling white. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, Jesus together with the law and the prophets. And Peter's confused. He doesn't totally know what to say, Mark tells us. And in Peter's confusion, a cloud appears. In chapter 9, verse 7, covers them, and a voice comes from the cloud. This is about the halfway point of the Gospel of Mark. And a voice from the cloud says, "This is my Son, whom I love." The same thing that was said at Jesus' baptism. God validating and vindicating everything that Jesus did at the point of his baptism and up to the point now, about the halfway point of the Gospel. And then God adds something else. He says, "Listen to him." And so those of us who are following Jesus, if we want to know what it means to go and tell, we listen to him. We follow him. We look for how he lived. We do the same things. We look for what he taught. We teach the same things. We look for how he led people closer to God. We do the same things. It's key that we understand that that's what Jesus is talking about here. Listen to him. When we listen to him, what do we hear? Let's turn back to chapter 8, verses 34 and following. In chapters 8, 9, and 10 of the Gospel of Mark, we have a key block of teaching where Jesus three times announces his upcoming death and his resurrection. But every time he does that, every time he talks about his upcoming death and resurrection, the disciples are confused. They don't know how to understand it. They don't know how to interpret it. And so they fumble through everything and they end up coming up with some kind of a problem, some kind of a misunderstanding, and Jesus has to correct that misunderstanding and call them back to what it means to follow somebody who's going to be killed and then raised from the dead. And so in chapter 8, starting in verse 34, after Jesus has talked about his death and resurrection, he calls the crowd to him along with his disciples and says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." And so he starts talking there about when we think about listening to him, as we were exhorted to in chapter 9, what Jesus is saying is following me means making difficult choices about sacrifice, picking up your cross, carrying it, and following me. We know that Jesus did that very thing. He carried his own cross. It's a cross of suffering. It's a cross of challenge. It's a cross of devotion. But that's what listening to Jesus means. That's what following him is about. It's about carrying a cross of discipleship. Then in chapter 9, starting in verse 33, Jesus again has talked about his upcoming death and resurrection for the second time now in this block of teaching. The disciples, we learn in verse 32, don't understand what he means. They're afraid to ask him about it, probably because they realized how badly they had misunderstood it the first time. But now in verse 33, they arrive at their location, at the destination they were going to. And when they were in the house, Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" So these are the disciples, the ones closest to Jesus. They're on the road with him. He tells them, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed, and then I'm going to be raised from the dead." And they argue on the way, according to what Mark says here, in verse 34, about who was the greatest. They argued amongst themselves about who was the greatest. Jesus said, "I'm going to go and be killed, and then raised from the dead." And they wanted to know which one of them was greater than the rest. And so Jesus sits them down, he calls them together, and he says, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." And Jesus reminds them in that moment that greatness is not about receiving accolades for yourself. It's not about boosting your own prestige. If you want to be great as somebody who follows God, if you want to be great in thinking about how do I go out and tell, going out and telling others begins with lowering yourself to be to the point where you are willing to be the servant of all. And that's a difficult question. Are you willing to serve everybody? Or do you draw a line somewhere? When we listen to what Jesus says, that's what he said. Already previously in this section is when that the transfiguration happened and we were told by God to listen to him. And now Jesus says, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And we have to wrestle with that question. Am I willing to stop drawing lines at who I'll serve or teach or work with or minister to? And am I willing to become humble enough to become the servant of all? And then in chapter 10, for the third time, in verse 32, Jesus predicts his death and his resurrection. And then James and John come to him in verse 35, and they say, "Do for us whatever we ask." And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." They wanted those prime positions. If Jesus was going to die, they wanted to be recognized for all the time that they had put in. They wanted to be recognized for the sacrifices that they had made. And Jesus handles that issue, but in verse 41, the rest of the disciples hear about this. They become indignant with James and John. Jesus calls them together and says, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you." Jesus says, and if we're listening to him, he says, "My way is different than your way. My way is different than what you've heard, what you've experienced, and what your own inclinations are. So not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And in that moment, Jesus goes back to the theme of service, and he says, if you listen to me, if you want to follow me, if you're going to go and tell others, it all begins with humility, with lowering yourself to serve. Are you willing to serve everybody? This is what Jesus' resurrection means for us. When we look at those three examples, each of those times he's talked about his death and resurrection. Each of those times has been confusion from the disciples about what that means. And Jesus calls them back to the idea that following him, going and telling others, begins with humility, sacrifice, and service. So maybe we're even more puzzled when we come to the ending of Mark there again in chapter 16 where he tells where the women are told to go and tell, but we find that they're fearful and they don't go out and do anything. It's a wide open ending. It's not closed. It's like those choose your own adventure books that I was talking about at the beginning because something has to happen. A choice is made. We know that the future of the church depends on people being told. And if some people are going to shrink back in fear, then how are others going to be told? It's going to be by those of us who listen to Jesus, who hear that command, and we go and tell others. But that going and telling originates with humility, sacrifice, and service. That's why Jesus talked about all of those things in chapters 8, 9, and 10. We can't go out and tell others out of arrogance or pride or forcefully or with manipulation. But we have to humble ourselves. We have to take up a cross. We have to be willing to carry that burden. We have to be willing to listen to what Jesus says, and we have to be willing to follow him wherever he leads. He invites us into his life to follow him, and within that invitation is a challenge for us to become more like him. So the question again, when we go back to chapter 16, the women were told to go and tell, but they left, fearful, frightened, scared. The question remains for us, will you be like the women, or will you be like those who go and tell? Will you listen to Jesus? Will you live a resurrected life now by serving others? When we think about the questions Jesus asked, whom do you need to be least among? Which cross in your life currently exists that you actually need to pick up and carry? What do you place value in now that you need to change? Who is there now that you've been ignoring in terms of serving that you need to serve? Listen to Jesus. Listen to what he says. Listen to that command to go and tell. His life, his resurrection, calls us into a new way of life, of humility, sacrifice, and service. And through those things, we work with people, and they begin to hear the good news because we went to them and told. How would your life be different if you took that command, that simple command to go and tell? Who can you go and tell? What would you tell them? How would you serve them to get that opening so that you can tell them? These are all the questions that Jesus helps us to work through. This morning, my encouragement is that you would listen to what he says, that you would meditate on that command of his to go and tell, that you would think about all the ways that Mark has given us ideas about how we can do this, and that you might pick one of those things, and that you might pick one person and start praying or thinking about how you can go and tell, and then eventually go and tell. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the message, if you need to give your life over to Jesus, if you need to be baptized into his name, the forgiveness of sins, if there's any other spiritual need, we'd like ask you to let us know what that need is by coming forward as we stand and sing.